Hello everyone, my name is Giampaolo Battaglia, I'm Product Marketing Manager on Microsoft Cognitive Services, and with me today there is Luis. Hi Luis.
Hi, I am Luis Cabrera, I am a Principal Product Manager in the Cloud AI Platform.
So the purpose of this session today is to have an overview about Microsoft Cognitive Services and double-clicking around the language and speech capabilities. And so we're going to have this overview and talk a little bit more about Microsoft AI. Luis?
Yes, that is correct, Giampaolo. You know, it makes me remember a little bit about when I was a child. When I was a child, I had to learn how to use MS-DOS. And my dad had an MS-DOS book, you know, and I had to read through all the commands, memorize them. That's how we used to learn to use a machine, right? Then a few years later, we started using, you know, graphical user interfaces and natural user interfaces. This slide shows these are my kids. And they were actually learning to use a machine, but it was much easier. You know, in this case, they had to use natural actions or actions that felt natural to them, I should say.
What are they touching on?
They are touching the first generation of Surface, right? The big tabletop computer back then. And while it was easier for them to learn to use this machine, to interact with the computer, they still had to learn these interactions. What if, Giampaolo, what if it was the other way around? If the onus of learning to communicate was not on us as humans, but what if our applications were the ones that had to learn to interact with us? What if our applications had to get the context of what's going on, understand our language, and then be able to respond to talk to us, right? So today we'll be talking about how we can make our applications a little bit smarter. How can they understand our language? How can they answer to us? And I hope you enjoy the rest of the presentation.
Great. So I think that why today and not a month ago, or let's say 2 or 3 years ago, is because we've got like this kind of merging of three different megatrends,
that
right?
That is correct, Giampaolo. So, you know, machine learning has been around for a while, but it also requires like quite a bit of computation. It requires having the right data center, for instance, to do all the number crunching so that you can create these machine learning models. And it requires a lot of data, right? Now we're producing more data than ever. So now the three things can come together: the right algorithms, the computation, as well as the data to train those algorithms so that we can teach machines so that they can learn patterns.
So great, great moments, right?
It's a beautiful moment. Good time to be alive.
So when we talk, and you've seen already sessions in the keynotes yesterday, when we talk about Microsoft AI, we keep in mind that on our point of view, it's really about amplifying human ingenuity. With this amazing and intelligent technology, it's really about how the technology is going to help me and you, Luis, in our day-to-day activities, and sometimes even without noticing that there is AI behind the scenes, because it needs to be also seamless to do more in a better way.
Yeah.
So when we think about Microsoft AI, think about four different pillars. And so I'm going to go quickly through them, and then we'll go to the cognitive services part. The first one is related to this intelligent agent. Think about Cortana, your personal digital assistant, which can be on your machine, on the mobile phones, which is following you as individual user to do more. And last time there was something which I really enjoy is that this is this print screen. I didn't send the mail to Satya, but it was more or less that. You can send an email through Outlook, say, through an interesting plugin. So let me show you right now. Directly on the...
So you're going to do it right there on your own presentation.
Exactly. So I just need to find the slide. So I added this add-in. So directly in the home, I've got the slideshow and I've got the start subtitle. So the ability to automatically monitor what I'm going to say and put it on the screen. So.
And this is a garage project, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And you can have it. We'll provide the links in the bottom of the videos. So English to English for the moment, very straightforward, starting subtitles. And now, technically, if I start to speak, you should see the subtitles which are magically appearing on and on and on. And what is very interesting here is that you see that there is this code which is there. And technically, even when you're presenting in front of an audience, you can have everyone with the phone which is able to see automatically the transcription happening up to, I think it was 500 different devices, and now it's scaling to 1,000 devices.
So if I don't speak English, if I speak only Spanish, I can just take a picture of the QR code and then see what you're saying, but seeing it in Spanish, let's say.
Exactly.
Oh, that's great.
So, and we tried that in different keynotes and sessions, and you can directly with your phone change the language and see the automatic translation. But as I'm French and I had a bet to speak in French during a session, I said, let's do the French one, French to English. So I just add the subtitles as well. Et maintenant, nous allons pouvoir commencer à présenter directement en français. Et je tiens à vous dire que même si j'ai un accent français, les gens ici arrivent à me comprendre. So it works. The interesting point is that here I did not even use a specific microphone plugged on my machine. I'm just using the acquisition of my machine to hear when I speak. So think about even if you're plugging the microphone directly while it's capturing, and you would have even more accuracy when you're currently speaking.
Very nice, Gianpaolo, very nice. So we're making our application smarter, right? So that's the second pillar.
Exactly.
Now, if we were to see the third pillar, this is about enabling our developer community, right, to write smart applications through templates, right?
Absolutely.
So solution templates in a sense, right? So we have a gallery of solution templates where you can go and kind of select the scenario that you care about. And then, you know, it downloads into your Azure subscription all the components that you need to enable a particular scenario, right? So that's about enabling you to build something interesting, right?
So stitching the pieces together. What's interesting as well is that sometimes you do not want to do that by yourself. And so this is why Microsoft is relying on its partner ecosystem to help you to work and to build and to customize the solutions. And think about, from a vertical point of view, if you are in healthcare or in manufacturing, the ability to tune and to put your own type of data just to have the solution working for your specific needs. And the last piece, the last component, it's what we call the comprehensive AI-based solutions. At Microsoft Ignite, which was, I think, a little more around a month something ago, Satya presented a first interesting AI-based solutions for customer care. So through that, we've got different customers such as HP and Macy's who've been able to have these smart, intelligent agents helping customers on one side, as well as the human operators on the other, to do more and to help to have the best way to interact with each other. So third part, the comprehensive AI-based solution.
That is correct.
The last, fourth pillar is going to be around, and this is where we're going to double-click, the platform.
That is correct, Gianpaolo. So at a lower level of abstraction, right, we have a platform where you can build anything, right? And if we go to the next slide, it's a little bit more clear, right? So we have different components. We have infrastructure. Think of it as where are you going to run all this computation? And where are you going to store all this data? And more specifically, right, for artificial intelligence or machine learning models, sometimes you want to be able to train specific models on a GPU, because that can do a lot of operations in parallel, or even customized field programmable gate arrays, so FPGAs. So we have the hardware for you to do that. We have the data centers for you to do that, and the right products, relational and non-relational databases, for instance, right? Then we have a set of tools that allow you to create these models. Think of the Azure Machine Learning tool that was recently announced at Ignite.
The Workbench, right?
The Workbench is part of it, where you can go and clean your data, and you can manage different types of models. And then you can select which one has the highest precision, and then operationalize it and create an endpoint that will enable you to actually do something with that, right? So you have the tools and the frameworks, such as the Cognitive Toolkit. And then at a higher level of abstraction, we have what we call AI services. And that's what we're going to double click today. We're going to talk about cognitive services. We also have bot services that allow you to create bots. These bots actually use some of the cognitive services like the language understanding service that we will be talking about later today. And of course, you have also the custom machine learning services that you have created using the tools like Azure Machine Learning.
Thank you. That reminds me, so we started to work with Luis 2 years and a half ago, and we're presenting, like even at the time, Azure Machine Learning to customers. And at the time, customers were excited and say, oh, you know what, this is awesome. But for some of them, they were basically saying, hey, you know what, I'd love your thing, I'd love to use that, but I do not have data science knowledge in my yeah. enterprise, and I'd love to do something, and I've got data. So Microsoft, could you put the data, put it here, push a button, and have some magic appearing on top of that? And this is where the cognitive services have been appearing, how we've been able to extract these intelligent methods and IP from our various services. Think about Kinect with facial recognition and all the other capabilities you could have with Bing, with Skype Translator, and how we've been able to take these interesting methods, to train them, to bake them, to make them available to anyone to use as a simple web service, without the need to be an expert in data science.
Yeah, you know what is so interesting to me, Gianpaolo, is that this, in a sense, democratizes machine learning, right? Because you don't need to be a data scientist to harness the power of some of these very smart capabilities, right? So it's an exciting time to write applications.
So cognitive services, as you can see on the screen, is a set of 29 APIs and services which are available right now. You can try all of them with a free tier, and they go into different categories. So the first one is related to the vision capabilities. So what's inside an image? Who are the people? How they feel, if they're happy, unhappy? What's even inside a video? What are the smart information you can have on top of that? Speech, like speech to text, text to speech, translation, speaker recognition. Language capabilities, this is where we're going to double click in a second, about how what's behind the text? What's the sentiment of a sentence? What is the intent of this sentence? Knowledge capabilities, finding pattern into complex data, for example, how you're going to recommend things or create automatically an interesting knowledge base on the go, thanks to very specific or sometimes different types of information. And search capabilities, the right one on the one on the right, in which we're leveraging the power of our Bing search capabilities. One interesting thing, just to move in the end, the last API of each of the category is this new layer we had at our Build conference about customization. We had people saying, oh, I love to use an API with a simple call. I put an image, I push a button, I've got the output. But I've got specific or unique data. How can I take that data and train it with my own information in order to have something which is more customized? And so we've got now a customized classifier for vision. You can create your classifier also and have smart recognition for speech. You've got for the language one, you've got the knowledge one, and you've got the custom search as well. So let's dive into that for the language capabilities, because
yes.
This is the title
so
of the session, right?
So we have a variety of language cognitive services. So think of it as, for instance, if you wanted to translate text, right?
Yeah.
So similar to what the PowerPoint translator was doing, but I want to build that into my application. Maybe a bunch of people are providing feedback to me, and I want to know what they are saying. So then no problem. As part of that business application, I could say, you know what? Let's take that piece of feedback, send it through the translation API, and then get the translated result, and then do something with it.
Sure.
Maybe I want to do sentiment analysis with it. Maybe I want to extract the entities from them. So we have a variety of these language-specific services. But I think the best to really kind of understand all this is to take one of them and to go deep, to start from the beginning.
Perfect.
So if we actually can show my screen here.
Demo mode.
So I am actually showing the homepage of the Text Analytics API. And
Azure.com/cognitive, right?
That is correct. Azure.com/cognitive will take you to it. And then you can click on the section language, speech, vision, and so forth, and then select the API that you care about. So we have a few dozen APIs, so you have to select the one that you care about. So in this case, for the text analytics API, I actually pasted some code here that I took from some of the reviews for the Surface Studio.
Okay.
So just to do this,
how was the review?
I'm going to click Analyze. I actually didn't read the review. I just took the first one that I found. And then the text analytics API was able to identify the language. So in this case, it's English, 100% sure. And then the key phrases. So it seems like the person here was referring to the machine mostly. Beautiful machine, beautiful picture quality, right? So this is what the person is talking about. And these key phrases are in order of importance.
So you can now kind of having a step back to one review or all the reviews and know exactly what they're talking about without reading everything, right?
Yeah. This is exciting, right? Because now if I have a million reviews, I can just see like which ones are the key phrases that appear the most. Not only that, but I could, for instance, calculate the average sentiment for a particular key phrase, maybe the so first I select what API I care about, right?
Sure.
And I can go to the AI section, but in this case, just for the sake of time, I type text analytics, and it took me to the page where I can create this API. So it gives me links to documentation and so forth so that I understand it a little bit better. But let's say I want to do it. Now I provide a name for it. Let's say my TA subscription. I can select the location. And I'm happy to announce that we are now in 13 different regions for text analytics.
Nice.
So that's exciting. So, if you wanted to create an instance of it in Brazil South or something, you can. To your point, we do have a free tier. So you can select the pricing tier. We charge per transaction or annotation, right? So, for instance, if you send me 1,000 documents and you want sentiment analyzed on those 1,000 documents, then we count that as 1,000 transactions. For instance, the S1 tier gives you 100,000 transactions for a month for 30 days. But, in this case, I'm going to select the free tier, which will give me 5,000 transactions
for
free.
So anyone can get started even for free to experiment things, right?
You can get started right now. As we're talking. So, I can create a new resource group, blah, and terms of use, confirm that, and then I can create it. I am not actually going to press enter here because I already created one before we started. Where is that? TA Luisca. Okay. And in this case, I created it in West US. And the important thing that happens once you create it is that you get keys. And these are the keys that enable you to actually call the API.
Okay.
So that's how we know you are calling the API. So I can copy that key, and then I can use it. So if we go back to the text analytics page, you will notice a link here that says API. So I can click on that. And we can even test it. So if I were to click sentiment here, we were hitting the West US endpoint.
So it's an API Explorer?
It's an API Explorer. I can see exactly the HTTP request and the response.
I see.
Yeah, so I can actually paste my key that I just got now. And I can actually enter the value of the text. Let me make this a little bit bigger for people to see. So I can say, I'm going to do sentiment analysis again, let's say.
Okay.
I'm going to type something in English. Let's give it an ID of one. You need to pass IDs because we actually enable you to pass, thousands of requests in the same, thousands of documents in the same request.
I see.
So that's what allows us to tell you, okay, this is the response for a particular
document. Like a batch?
Yeah, a batch, exactly. And then I can enter any text. We did a positive one earlier. Let's do a negative one. So my cat died yesterday. I don't know. I was crying all night.
Why are you always picking cats?
I don't like cats. I don't have a cat, so I don't feel too bad.
I love cats, so don't be angry with what Louis
no,
said.
No. It's okay. We love cats, actually. we'll do a positive one later. So trying to be always positive, Gianpaolo. So now that will get. So that's the request URL, and you can actually see the HTTP request. The format exactly, and now I can send it, and you get the response. It's just like using Fiddler or one of those programs that allow you to send the HTTP call. and I can see the response, and it says the sentiment is 1.31 times 10 to the minus 5. So that's in a range between 0 and 1. So that's not a happy situation. So probably we had a lot of cat-loving people in the data set that we use for training, because this is a very sad situation. Okay, so this shows you the actual RESTful API call, right?
Yeah.
The nice thing is that we actually have SDKs as well. So you can, for instance, if I go to Visual Studio now, this is a C# application that I created. And I'm going to run it just so that you get an idea of what it is. And we'll add sentiment analysis and key phrase extraction to it using our SDK.
Nice.
So this app, before I add that capability, I can type things like New York. And you saw autocomplete there, by the way. That's because I am using the Bing autocomplete API, which is another cognitive service that we have. And you can see that it goes to another cognitive service, in this case, Bing News Search. And it gives me the titles of each of the news articles and some pictures, right?
Related to New York.
Yeah. So that's just right now what is happening in New York. So what I want to do is I want to take those, send them through sentiment analysis in order to color them different colors, and then I want to identify the key phrases.
Nice.
Because just looking at, 40 or 50 pieces of news doesn't tell me much, right? So let's see how good or bad things are in New York right now. So let me make this a little bit bigger. So I already did all the coloring code and everything. I just wanted to show you that. I just wanted to show you that we have. What is going on?
The key.
I want to insert a snippet, but Control K X. Okay, there we go. My code snippets. I didn't want to start writing the code from scratch here, so. Let's go. Okay, so you can see that the code is actually very simple. It's a single line of code. It's a client sentiment async, right? And then I pass the load. So the code before that is just putting this load together with each of the titles of the news. And now let's try again. I type New York. Let's see. And it goes to Bing. Oh, and you see now I can see the distribution of sentiment. There are, like 40% of the issues are negative, 40 are positive, about 20, 40 are neutral, and about 20% are positive.
I see.
So that's actually very interesting. And then you can see the positive one, 7 fun free things to do in New York on New Year's Eve, right? That's exciting, celebratory. If we look at the negative ones, let's see. At the very bottom, it says suspected terrorist attacks in New York, New Jersey,
okay.
Right? So that's certainly not happy news, right? But you can see how very easily I was able to add some of these capabilities. And on the left, I'm showing the top keywords, analysis, Australian diplomat, Carolina, Giants. So this is what people are talking about today.
I see.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So if we go back to the presentation.
Yes, so thank you very much for the part for the demo. A couple of use cases. The first one is around Brainshark, who's been a company very innovative, who's been working on helping sellers to make a better pitch. And they've
that
been combining different capabilities from HoloLens to Face API, the emotion capabilities as well, and text analytics, right? And the idea is basically to have people speaking, being them recorded but analyzed at the same time to ensure that what they're saying is mapping to the flow, with text analytics having the keywords is super helpful, but also when the sentiment of what they're saying is positive, ensuring that the face is not super negative.
Yeah, they could be saying, this is a great product, right? And that's not good.
You're always like that, right? So second use case, which I think is interesting, is Bluebolt, which has been a company innovating by combining, in that case, the text analytics API with Azure Search. So not only they've been able to experiment how to have smart insights, but making it more easy to index things by looking directly into the key phrases, right?
Yeah, they were able to kind of decrease the size of the Azure Search index by just focusing on the key phrases, allowing them to have more documents in the
nice.
Index. Yeah.
So We've been discussing, Luis, about extracting the sentiment, and we had the Yuga Pence example about how people are able to have all the information from one sentence, but also 10,000 or millions of sentences, and see what's happening in real time to take the pulse of a brand. But how can we go one step further and identify really what are these keywords and what do they mean?
Yes, I'm glad you asked.
I don't know where it comes
from.
So
if we go to my machine again, there are two services that I want to show you, right? So the first one is the entity linking service. Because in the case of text analytics, it was able to identify the key phrases, right? But that doesn't mean that they are specific entities. So what we want to find out is whom or what is being talked about, and get actually the Wikipedia ID for each of those entities. So you actually gave me a piece of text that I was not very familiar with. That says, let's see if we go on the left. Matthew Henson was born in 1866. Peary hired him as a valet, and the two began a long working relationship, blah, blah, blah. They had epic and amazing travels over two decades, and they were taking aspirin and or ibuprofen, I guess.
They did not manage to take aspirin and ibuprofen at that time.
Oh, it was not easy to access aspirin or ibuprofen, I think.
Okay. And they've been to the North Pole several times.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay, interesting piece of text. I don't know much about these people, so I'm gonna submit it to the entity linking service. And this is just the same pattern, right? It's a HTTP request response format, but we can see that it highlights some content for me: Matthew Henson, Peary, aspirin, ibuprofen, and the North Pole. So these are all entities that were identified in this piece of text. But it's if I look at the actual JSON that is in the response, I can see, for instance, Matthew Henson. The Wikipedia ID is Matthew Henson. That's pretty straightforward, I imagine. But the one that is more interesting to me is Peary, because Peary, I'm sure there are a lot of people with that last name, right? But it realizes that is the guy, Robert Peary, who was, the partner in crime with Matthew Henson, right? So it realizes that connection, and it realizes that is indeed Robert Peary.
In context of the
of the North Pole, the North Pole travels or whatever they did, right? And it identifies aspirin and so forth. So now I can take these entities and take them to the Bing entity search to find out more information about them. So in this tab, I have the Bing entity search service. I'm going to paste it. And it's very nice to be able to play with the services on the homepage, by the way. I really enjoy that. It makes it easy to conceptualize what they do.
So it's the interactive demonstration into every API page.
That is correct. Yeah. So here, I sent Robert Peary as input, and I can see that he's an explorer. I can see his image and a description of what he did, right? Or who he is. Rear Admiral Robert Edwin Peary Sr., right? So I can look at that JSON, right? And it gives me all the information that I need and where the sources come from as well. So now you had also
where there are interesting entities, and combining that with Bing Entity Search API, in that case, you identify that Matthew and Peary are, and I just pasted the JSON output, person explorer. You've got the drug which was appearing for aspirin and ibuprofen, and North Pole, which was an interesting place, of course. Maybe a little bit cold. So evolving from sentiment to understanding the meaning of specific words, how can we evolve, Luis, about the intent? Like when I tell you, open the door, you know that the door needs to be open, but the machine doesn't convert the sentence or the command into an intent.
Yeah, and that's what makes it interesting. Right now, when we want to create applications that do what we tell them to do, right? Then they need to understand what does the person want me to do, right? That's what's the intent of this expression. And there can be different sentences that have the same intent. So I have two here. When is the flight AF-30? When does flight AF-32 arrive? Or what is the arrival time of AF-32? These are two sentences, have different words, but they have the exact same intent or meaning, right? So So that's what an intent is. What's the goal of this sentence, right?
So how can we identify the intent?
Yeah. So we have a service before we move forward. We need to understand the concept of intent and also of entities. Because even in this sentence, I know that, okay, this person is looking for an arrival time, but I need to know arrival time of what?
I see.
So in this case, AF32 is the flight number, which is the one, now that I know the intent and the entity, if I can extract it, right, I can go to a database and get that information for you. So it's important to be able to gather both pieces of information. We have a service, the Language Understanding Intelligence Service, that enables you to train a model. And it's just like teaching a child. You have to teach it with examples.
So you say,
like, these are the many ways that somebody can ask you for an arrival time. These are the many ways that somebody can ask you where the restroom is. These are the many ways that somebody can book a ticket, for instance, right? So you give it examples. And what is fascinating to me is that as you give it examples, it will actually tell you the probability that it actually identified the intent correctly. And you can see how it, as it learns, the probabilities increases. It's super fascinating to me.
And in that case, you can retrain it.
That is correct, right?
Again and again.
Yeah, it's kind of like a process. So you give it data, you kind of learn from it interacting with people. You can see the sentences where maybe it didn't know so well because it can tell you this confidence score. And then you can take those and say, oh, you know what? You were not so sure about what this sentence meant. Let me tell you, right? And then you can retrain it and it can get better over time.
Can you show us a little bit?
Of course. So if we go to my machine, so I actually have in this window right here.
So this is the Luis.ai UI.
Yeah, it's like a dashboard where you can actually train this and actually see the results. It's a very, very nice dashboard. And I created a demo ahead of time. I called it Connect Demo 1. And it's like the most basic demo. This is like, I literally spent probably like 5 or 10 minutes ahead of time just giving it a few intents and entities, just so that you don't see me typing a bunch of them here in front of you. So I define two entities, or actually three entities. I define flight number, I defined action, and place. Flight number, because you can ask things like, when is the arrival of AF32? So AF32 is a flight number. Action and place, because I have another intent. That is, where do I go eat, right? So that in that case, the action will be eating or eat. And then the other one is I could say, where are the restaurants, right?
I see.
And then that will be a place. So I want to be able to identify each of these. And for these two intents, so this is the most basic example, right? So I define the intent arrival info and the intent location query. And then there is always an intent, which is like, I don't know what it is. So
yeah.
That's none, right? So if I look at arrival information, you can see some of the examples there. Let me make that a little bit bigger. So I gave it a bunch of examples. When does flight come to town? What is the landing time for flight number, right? And I actually didn't type flight number. It identified that for me over time.
So you typed an example of flight, and it identified and added that to the
training set. Yeah, exactly. So let me type something like what time does XR56 come? I don't know. That's a new sentence that it's not aware of. And sometimes when I haven't logged in for a while. Maybe I need to reload this.
It's taking time.
Yeah. Just let me reload it. I think my credentials were expired.
But so basically, this represents one of the brains of the bot in the end.
That is correct. Let me sign in. Just a second.
So having the opportunity to stitch that to one of the bots. We can use, and you had sessions yesterday about that, using Azure Bot Service, for example, and how language understanding intelligence.
I can train my application with the latest data so that it works well. I'm not going to do it in order to save some time, but then I could do something like, Where can I find the restaurants? And so I can actually test it, right? And then it will say, okay, that's a location query. And that's 100% probability. The probability that that's a request for arrival information, that's only 7%. So
I see.
Then you could be writing a bot, for instance, right? That is able to take text, identify the intent from that, do some action based on that, go to some database, I don't know, book a ticket, whatever it takes, and then, you know, respond back to the customer.
And this is where it was interesting that you had an intent which was known, because here you can basically see all the questions which landed into known.
Like if I don't know, right, like the system just doesn't have enough information to be able to make the decision.
And create new intents and entities to create a new...
To improve it.
A new branch of the path of the tree of the decisions of the bot you want to create.
Yeah, with data it can learn how to classify these ones.
Great. Yeah. So thank you, Luis, for this great demo about language understanding. So we talked about a lot about typing things, text. How we're able now to add an additional layer in the speech example, speech capabilities. So going more into this big category of speech API, think about all the various ways that we can interact with the machine with the voice. And it can go into different ways. One example we presented at the beginning of this session was how we've been able to use the speech API capabilities and even the translation capabilities for speaking while I was speaking in French directly into PowerPoint. But we're using these capabilities here to have this speech to text and automatic translation in the language you'd like. Other capabilities are around, one of them being speaker recognition, the ability for the system to know that with my voice and my French nice accent is Gianpaolo speaking, while when it's you, it's going to recognize and being able to switch from one people to the other. And you can see the demos, by the way, directly into the Azure pages. Yeah. The last service, the fourth one, is around customization, custom speech service. How we're going to be able to transcribe what I'm currently saying with my voice. But here, for example, I'm in a studio. I could use an awesome microphone, but it's not always like that. You're sometimes in the street, you're trying to say something, there is a car approaching. You can be a good example of the airport in which you're really trying to say things.
Kids crying,
but you've got
loudspeaker on top of you saying, Flight S32 is coming, right? So then it's kind of hard to understand what's going on with so much noise.
And the other aspect, which is super interesting, is not only on the noise cancelling capability. It's when I'm saying nitrobenzopropyl ibuprofenol or things like that, which are super technical. And sometimes the systems are not trained to know to identify these very complex chemical components or whatever SKU name you might have. And this is where custom speech service comes. Basically, it's extremely straightforward. You're providing in the same time audio sample and transcription of what the audio mean. And you just say, go figure that out. And you make the system training again and again. And then you'll be able to use these complex words or these words into very noisy environment. And the system will be able to catch that.
Yeah.
A great example, and I will show you that in the demo. Two things. You can right now, if you downloaded, hopefully, the translator presentation translator add-in, you've got a checkbox in which you can directly have the system reading into your presentation to identify these complex words. So I always say Gianpaolo Battaglia in my presentation, and I have the system learned, and then when I say I'm Gianpaolo Battaglia, it's writing correctly my name, so, which happens one every year, usually, to correctly spell my Italian
name. So let me get this straight. So. Even though there are terms that are more complicated, because the subset of language that we're using either in chemical terms or in your presentation is smaller, then the system can have higher accuracy.
Yes, absolutely. So I've got an interesting example here. I'm going to show you that on my machine right now. I'm going to open an app which was created in an airport. How convenient it is. It seems that there is a recurring path discussion around this airport. So you'll see two things. We're going to put a sentence which was said in an airport. We're going to click on send, and the system is going to show what would be usually recognized the sentence with a benchmark external basic speech-to-text recognition API. And on the right side of the screen here, you'll see how the system is able to pick up with the custom speech model which has been trained.
Perfect.
So we're going to do that. I'm going to click. So it's the Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, yeah, yeah.
Let's see if it works.
Show me all flights from Pittsburgh to Boston, both direct and connecting, that depart Pittsburgh after 7 p.m.
So I don't know if you heard the sound, but we heard it, basically. You've got the airport and the noise and the sound. And two things are happening. So you see that the custom speech, for example, identified depart Pittsburgh, while the usual one identify Martin Pittsburgh, which would be...
Yeah.
Who's Martin Pittsburgh, Luis? other thing, after 7 p.m., well, it's after 7, because at the p.m. there was this sound in background, which was making difficult for the system to capture that. So you see that already with the custom speech, you're able to way more accurately understand what it says. Then, and we combined it with Luis, you presented earlier, Luis.
Language understanding service.
Exactly, the other Luis. Yeah. By the way, when you're using Luis, in fact, Luis is behind the scenes and always typing the answers and the intents super quickly. And he does that for everyone, it's at scale. And you've got the intents. So even with a baseline which is working okay, it identified at 75% the accuracy of the intent flight information with Boston and Pittsburgh as origin. While on the other side, it kept that at 94%.
Much better.
And on top of that, the after 7 p.m. has been identified as an additional entity.
Right.
So think about the capabilities of being able to capture that in a more accurate way. And you can start on the go. You've got always the ability to do in free tier and expanding through that. So let me show you another thing right now, going back to my presentation. So an interesting example is around a company, Human Interact, who created a game which is Starship Commander. We don't have time to show the video right now, but we're going more or less to explain what they did. They were having this kind of very interesting narrative virtual game with VR sets. And the system, basically, you're in an adventure, you've got actors which have been digitalized, and they're asking you questions. And the point is that you're just saying the answer, and the system is going to show you the narrative into different way according to what you're saying. The point is that this is happening in space, Starship Commander. So how do you identify for the system the Eknians, which are aliens which have been created?
Right, that's a weird name. That's a weird term, right?
Yeah, but interesting. But yeah, technically, Eknians, I never seen that anywhere, and I'm pretty sure that the basic system wouldn't know how to correctly spell it because it's something completely new.
Right.
So what they did, basically, was the ability to use speech capabilities with custom speech, in that case, to take directly the unique keywords and to be trained to capture the Eknians, and then to convert that with Luis, with the text, to have the intents and entities which are working.
That's interesting because it's a pattern that we see over and over, right?
Yeah.
Speech to text using something like custom speech and then understanding what it really means.
That's absolutely.
How you can do something with it, yeah.
So before we go, we're reaching slowly the end of the presentation. I just wanted to show you one last interesting demonstration. We've been talking about language capabilities, understanding how to process also speech on top of that and identify intents and entities. And the purpose, of course, when you're building a bot is to be able to map that with an interesting knowledge base you might have. In that case, how you create that? You can start from scratch, for example, with Luis and build your different entities and intents a little bit like Luis did. But sometimes, and I think that it's happening in lots of companies and lots of websites, you always have these big FAQs, questions, answers, which can help external customers. Sometimes also we've got FAQ internally within Microsoft about specific questions instead of asking randomly. You've got everything in a web page. And sometimes you can have something like 150 questions, which can happen. And sometimes the answer is there. So how can you ensure that the customer is going to find the answer by scrolling and finding? I love to use the Control F to find the right keyword, but
sometimes it's in different pages, right? It's in a website, it's not
so
a single page.
So it can be a little bit difficult, yeah. And we've got a service which is very interesting for that, which is Q&A Maker. So I will show you that in a second. Let me just find it. This is Q&A Maker. So same thing, you can go on theazure.com/cognitive, you go to the page related to Q&A Maker, and then you go directly into the portal, qandamaker.ai. So you go to services, and basically you click on create new service, and you're going basically to extract the knowledge base from any type of document.
So what document are you going to pick?
So we've got the choice. It could be, for example, a Word document in which you've got the questions answers written in it. It could be even a PDF or a manual, which is going to read that. Or, and this is why I like that, it can be also a web page. So how convenient, my next tab, is the Azure Machine Learning Frequently Asked Questions in the Azure documentation. So you see that this is the documentation webpage. Basically, you've got all the questions, answers, and you've got a bunch of them, which are here. So the idea is that how can we very, very quickly create an intelligent system to extract all this information and let you interact then freely with a bot. So I'm going just to copy this URL for later, and I'm go directly to the Q&A service and see how fast it is. So first, example connect. And here it's asked me enter the URL of the knowledge base. So I'm going to paste it here. You can add additional URLs if you've got additional pages. As mentioned, you can also upload a document and or a PDF or a manual. And then the job is done. It's going to directly extract the information. And you're going to see that in a second.
And then it's going to train a model based on the questions and answers that I found. And it already did.
It's super fast. So 42 Q&A pairs. I didn't believe that from the PM yesterday. I was trying to say, hey, how many questions and answers can you have? And it's at the scale of thousands or 10,000 with the API. So it's 10,000.
Nice.
It's like you can reach 1,000 technically. So it's like, I've been amazed. So 42, I was always so happy, and 42 is a very important number usually. So you've got the questions and answers, and you can, of course, here adding a new question, a new answer. But what I love is that, look, you go in the tests.
And that's a bot that it created.
That's the
for
test
you.
Bot. It's already there.
I see.
So I hope you can see it. Let me put it. I want to zoom in and zoom to make it nice here. So it's about Azure Machine Learning. So if you say, what is Azure ML, for example, and you've got an answer. The Azure Machine Learning Workbench is a companion application, blah, 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 blah. And maybe this is not the right answer because you've got so many different pairs. So you can teach the machine to say, you know what? This is the answer. Azure Machine Learning is the fully managed Azure service that allows blah, blah, blah. So I say, yes, please take that answer because I wasn't talking about the workbench. I used Azure ML on purpose because I didn't type Azure Machine Learning just to see if it was capturing.
Yeah,
and
very nice.
It's able already to say, okay, it might be this answer. And so you could add additional types of question because, as you mentioned, you never have the same way to ask the same thing. So maybe it's like, tell me more about machine learning, considering that in the context of that page or that bot, it can be the right one. And I'm going to add it automatically as an additional question. And this is what I love. You save and retrain. Done. And then you're going to publish it. And this is done.
You created a bot from an FAQ page in like 5 minutes.
So I would say, if I want to be precise, I would say 45 seconds. And here, I created one of the brains of the bot.
Yeah.
So this is where it's interesting. You could consider a bot in which you're going to have this nutshell with Azure Bot Service, in which then you're going to make the connection with Language Understanding Intelligence Service. And in the other way, you could say, hey, Q&A Maker is going to be there. So one of the smart brains can be built in like a couple of seconds. And anyone can do that on the go, like, and without the need to be an expert. Like, I did it, so I think anyone can do it.
Perfect.
So
I think we're coming to the end of our presentation.
Absolutely.
So we had a chance to look at different cognitive services. We talked about speech and language, language understanding, and how to create a bot in just a few minutes. There are a few resources that we want to make available to you. Check out the rest of the Channel 9 videos related to Connect. We have put a few links here on how to get you started. You should check out the AI school as well. It has been a pleasure being with you today, and I hope that this has been useful to you.
We've got a couple of seconds, and before thanking everyone, we just wanted to tell you that all the questions you're asking right now, we're going to reply you directly by email. You had our alias in the beginning. You can also write us to askai@microsoft.com. One of the questions is like, where can we find the list of supported languages by the Language Understanding Service? It's super easy. Basically, in the page, azure.com/cognitive, you go to the page of Language Understanding, you click on Documentation, and in the overview, we're working to have all the APIs with the right information.
Yeah. Also, when you create an actual application, you can select the languages, and then you will see the list of languages.
But mainly for all APIs, you'll see all the languages in the documentation sections for all the related mapping APIs.
Okay.
Thank you very much. It has been a pleasure. I hope.